Ryan Rashog joins us from Chicago. Shogger, are there pictures of Brian Sharp and, Patrick Sharp and Brian Bickell around Chicago with an all points bulletin, wondering where they are at so far in this series?
Well, there might as well be. Interesting story about Patrick Sharp today, actually. We were walking through the stands, and Patrick Sharp was on the ice in jeans and a t-shirt and shoes with no gloves and a stick, just shooting pucks with a bucket of pucks, just shooting pucks from the blue line. And he was just shooting and shooting and shooting. And I kind of walked down, and I've dealt with Patrick quite a bit. So he sort of, you know, when he was walking over, he stopped. And I said, you trying out a new twig or what's going on? He had Jerome McGinley's stick. So Jerome McGinley's pattern. And he's trying it out. And he's actually kind of thinking about switching.
Really?
And he said, you know, Iggy's got, it's been a bunch of goals in it for Iggy. It's worked for him. So that just gives you a little bit of an idea into the mindset of Patrick Sharp. And, I mean, he's got to be frustrated. It wasn't, I mean, this guy was on the Olympic team, for goodness sakes. So it's got to be frustrating for him to be a bit player. And, in fact, to have had a negative impact in a couple of games with penalties and such. So he's, you know, leaving no stone unturned and trying to find a solution. But Bickell has the injury excuse, I suppose we could say. But for Patrick Sharp, I mean, he just has to be better.
Now, so was he wearing skates or just in shoes?
No.
Just in shoes, wow.
Shoes. He was just trying it out. He just wanted to give it a go and to see how it felt and see what the flex was like. And, I mean, he was like, I mean, look, if he's really serious about it, he could try it at practice tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
If he's on the ice. So we'll see what he does. Yeah, it was very weird. Fresh sheet of ice in his running shoes, jeans. We'll have it on SportsCenter tonight. You'll be able to see it. In fact, when people are done listening to your marvelous show, they can go TSN.ca. We did a web hit today with Aaron Ward where they could probably see viz of him doing it. It should be on that web hit. So yeah, it was really surprising. Like standing down between the hash marks, like he was on the blue line, then he moved down even further for snapshots, and like, yeah, it was. I have not seen a guy do that before.
Huh. Well, that is very interesting. And you're in the Stanley Cup final, and you're seriously contemplating switching your stick to a whole new pattern. Like not just getting a new stick, but going completely different pattern. You're right. That,
yeah.
I think that shows where a guy is clearly frustrated with his lack of offensive production.
Yeah, for sure. And so he should be. I mean, he doesn't have a goal in 12 games. Like, that's not good enough. And I know he's playing more of a third-line role on the team, but that doesn't matter. I mean, they need him, and he knows it. And, I mean, if you know Patrick Sharp, I mean, he's got a lot of pride. He's a good hockey player, but he's MIA right now. And you know that would be absolutely killing him. So he's trying to figure out whatever he can figure out in search of a solution.
Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews. Two guys who have played a lot of minutes, not getting much production. They got to get going.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wanted to credit Cedric Paquette for that in game two. And sure, he played really well against them. But, you know what, he split them up last night. And Paquette barely played at all against Toews last night. And still, Toews, you know, I believe he saw mostly Johnson. But he saw a ton of Hedman. And really, Victor Hedman is the one who's been doing the yeoman's work on Jonathan Toews. But, yeah, I mean, there's no way of avoiding it. Like, I mean, Toews was asked a question today. Can your team still win the Stanley Cup if you and Patrick Kane don't get producing? And he said yes. He said, yeah. Well, we've got lots of guys and guys that have done it before. But I think we all know that's probably not going to be the case. So he knows it. They know it. If you actually look, I think he has, what, like two goals in
15 Stanley Cup finals.
Yeah, I mean, 15, that's, you know, that's not what your best player and captain should be producing in the biggest moment. So, you know, I'm not going to go too far in ripping Jonathan Toews. He's a great player, but he needs to be producing in these big moments, flat out.
Well, it's funny, and I guess when Toews answers, he's technically correct, because in 2013, when they won the Cup, he only had 14 points in 23 games, right? He was the fifth highest scorer on the team. The thing is, right now for the Chicago Blackhawks, Taves is a guy so far in the postseason who has been producing, right? And I think they need him, because the reason why they got this far was because of him. Brian Bickle was unconscious in 2013. He's invisible now. Patrick Sharp, same thing. Those two guys were scoring a lot in 2013, and right now. Yeah. Taves, simply, he's got to get going. And we talked about Tampa Bay, Ryan, before the series started. If they were going to win, their secondary guys had to show up, and Paquette's done that.
Well, Tampa Bay's secondary players have been significantly better than Chicago's, like significantly. Now, Teravainen has put a little bit of a dent in that because he's been decent. But, I mean, honestly, Tampa's secondary scorers have been better than Chicago's primary scorers. And it was supposed to be this depth. I mean, we talked about it on this show, the depth of that Chicago offense and, a bunch of lines deep, and they're dangerous with a few different looks against a group that kind of hadn't really been there. And Boyle has been there before. Callahan has been in the fray. So these guys have a little bit of experience, but Callahan has woken up now, and that just adds a whole nother dimension. I mean, he scores in that game, plays really well in the last two games. Cedric Paquette all of a sudden is adding an offensive element. So, like, they just have – they're getting contributions from down low in their lineup, and you look over to Chicago, and it's just – it's the offensive players are just MIA, and it's just – it's killing them. It's just killing them.
Rashog joins us in the Rashog Report, brought to you by Belvan Construction. I know Dregs was all over Corey Crawford, feeling, Crawford's got to play better. And yeah. I look at, now granted, I didn't watch last night's game live, but I did watch it, half of it on PBR last night and then the rest this morning. And, I look at those goals and I'm like, well, gee, I'm not sure there was one that was brutally weak by any stretch of the imagination. In the second period, the Chicago team was terrible. Like, Crawford, I thought, kept them in it in the second period.
Oh, yeah. He made some saves. But, I mean, look, the first one was just a bullet. Like, that's just – but – your bench, I don't know, your bench probably feels like you need to have that. I mean, it's a, it's a clapper from the right side, and you can say what you want. It was a great shot. But, I mean, I don't think Crawford has been as good as they need him to be. I don't. I think he's been just okay. I mean, even the head coach has said he's just okay. I don't think you can argue that he hasn't been as good as he needs to be for them to win a Stanley Cup. So I think there's a legitimate amount of criticism that he can face. Here's a question I have for you. If you're John Cooper and they say to you, Bishop is going to be about the same, the injury is about where it was before, and he'll have similar mobility, basically it'll be a duplicate of that last game, do you put him in again? With those mobility issues, the way we all saw him stumbling around and having such a hard time? Or, because I'll tell you what, those mobility issues resulted in, one, you could argue, two, wide open nets for the Chicago Blackhawks that they just missed. If they score those goals and they lose with Bishop in the net looking like that, are we not all saying today, what the heck was he doing with him in there? Guy could barely stand up and push across. Did they play with fire and get away with it? And should they do it again? We discussed it today a little bit amongst us, and there were varying opinions on it, but what do you think?
Oh, I'm not a big believer in what if. Obviously, we will never know. Clearly, he's injured. There's a lot of players that are injured. We don't know what they're playing with. I think in the goalie situation, you're right. Hossa missed a wide-open net. There was two of them. And, they should have scored in those goals. And if they do, then maybe they win the game. But it's hard for me to second guess a guy when they win, right?
And, well, you can't argue with 36 saves, right?
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm saying is we all – I don't know about you watching, but I'll tell you what. In the press box, in the building, where we have the benefit of, being able to watch him and only him, we were saying there's no way he's coming out for the second period. Like, there's no way. He looked like, yeah, he made 19 or 18 saves, whatever it was. But there's no way they're going to keep going to him. I mean, he's having a hard time in there. He's having trouble getting up, and so he came out and played the second period. We all went, holy smokes, okay. So were they playing with fire? And yes, they won. And yes, he made a bunch of saves. But can you really have a goalie in there whose mobility is that bad as it was at times? And if and consider this. So you came into Chicago and you got the split. If you rest him for game four, there's 2 days between games four and five. He would have 5.5 days between games to get himself better. So I don't know, man. I don't know. A couple of people said you guys are nuts, no chance. Like Bobby Mack and Ray were both like, no chance. They'd go to Bishop, absolutely. But there were others who were going, it depends on the injury.
Yeah.
If they can get him back close to 100%, why not?
The risk in that is you lose the game. Maybe you get spanked. You get blown out, and now Chicago has all the momentum. I'd rather play it. Okay, you know what? We're going to go with Bishop. If he gets injured, at least we can say we went in with our best, rather than play it safe in the hopes that he might feel better. Because who knows? Maybe the injury is something that 5 days rest isn't going to change.
Yeah, and that could very well be the case. And this is just something he's going to have to deal with the rest of the way. And so, hey, he's our guy. You got to go with him. You got to believe in him and let him do it. Right? That may well be the case. And then the other risk is, what if Patrick Kane gets three by him? You know, by Vasilevsky. Now you've woken up the Giants, didn't go with your number one guy. Chicago's right back in the series, and look out. There's risk on both sides. But, you know, hey, if Bishop shows the same issues, getting up slowly and the same mobility issues, and they're down three goals after the first period, I guarantee you people are going to be questioning it, saying, should they have been playing that guy? So I'm just posing the question ahead of time, even though it's not the popular thing to be doing today because they won.
Speaking of a not popular, NBC Sports chairman Mark Lazarus said he would like the players to stop growing beards. Let's get their faces out there. Let's talk about how young and attractive they are, what model citizens they are. Thoughts? And did you talk to any of the players about this?
No, I've never heard that.
Really? The head of NBC feels that they're not marketing the players as much because of their beards. And I'm like, are you kidding me? The Lord of the Rings people are loving this.
Oh, yeah.
Right? What about Alex Kilhorn's mustache? You seen that one where it kind of almost looks like a villain where it's rolled up on the end? You telling me you can't market that? Like, come on.
No kidding, eh? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You're not going to do away with decades of hockey tradition in the name of letting people see your faces. They've got all year long. If they want to cut all their promos and stuff, do it at the start of the year or the start of the playoffs. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to go too far in ripping the head of NBC because, well, there's not really any point. But I think we all know that's a little silly and unlikely to ever happen.
I would agree. I think it's very unlikely to happen. Some guys will wear. No one's going to be forced to say you like. What are we living in a dictatorship now? Excuse me, you're not allowed. He can recommend it all he wants, but there is, zero chance that this happens.
By the way, I taped our insider trading segment today with Bobby and Dregs and Pierre, and I'll jump the gun a little bit on it for
Perfect.
The people in Edmonton. But Dregs had a little note in there that it is very, very unlikely Todd Nelson returns to the Oilers organization.
Yeah, I've said that from day one. That doesn't surprise me, no.
Yeah, but it's now, right, they give him permission to talk to other teams. It's heading down that path, and it's, according to what Dregs' information was today, it's sounding very, very, very much like he won't be returning. Mm-hmm. So it's not official or anything, but that looks like the way it's headed. So that from Darren Dreger today, people get a little advanced look at insider trading.
Does that surprise you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think he's been a pretty good soldier for the organization. Getting passed over for another American League coach was probably a tough one. I think he probably just feels like it's time to move on to another organization where he's got... I mean, what he needs is a general manager who decided to hire him. And whether that's as an American League coach or as an NHL assistant, you need to be working for a guy that looked at you and went, yeah, you know what? I'm going to hire you. You are the guy. I'm going to interview other people and you and choose you. Because here in Edmonton or there in Edmonton, he doesn't have that. He has a guy who passed him over a bunch of times in the assistant's position and a guy who just kept him on because he was under contract in the general manager position. And that's not what you need as far as people having your back. So I think he needs to go somewhere where somebody makes the choice. Let's hire Todd Nelson.
Not going to get an argument for me, Ryan. Have a good one, and we will be watching to see which pattern Patrick Sharp is using tomorrow on the ice.
Absolutely, we will. Look forward to it, man. Should be a fun game for.